A long time ago in Eretz Israel, it could be two ways. Do you remember we talked about when the Yidden start davening for rain? What happens when the Yidden start davening for rain? Who listens to the davening? And who listens to the davening?
Hashem.
And what does he bring?
Rain.
Very good. And the rain falls, and the fields get wet, and the farmers had planted the seeds, so the plants grow, and they get big, and there's fruit on the trees, and food in the fields, and then people have delicious things to eat, and the kinilach have plenty of food to eat, and the mommies and tatties, and mommy is busy baking and cooking. You go to the store, it's full of food. That's the way things hopefully are. But kinilach, sometimes it happens. The Yidden daven for rain, and they go outside. No clouds, it's hot, no rain. Maybe tomorrow it will rain. No rain tomorrow. The whole week, no rain. It's very dry in the fields. Mommy, I want a drink of water. We have no more water to drink. We ran out. Imagine, no water to drink. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I want food. There's no food in the store. Nothing is growing. There is a hunger. There is a drought. There is no rain and no food and no water. This is a very big emergency, and once in a while it happened like that. Now, kinilach, if there's no food, where will they get food? Either they have to move away. No, we don't want to leave Eretz Yisrael. We want to be in Eretz Yisrael. Well, either you move away to the food, or you have to bring the food to you. To bring food from far away costs a lot of money. So if you want an apple, instead of paying a dime, you might have to pay a dollar. If you want bread for the whole family, instead of paying a dollar, you might have to pay $10. And so everything gets so expensive. Oh, mommy, I want a drink of water. It used to cost a few pennies for water. Now you have to pay $10 for water. Oh, but we don't have the money. Wait a minute. We need the food, but we don't have the money. We don't have the food or the money. What are we going to do? This is a big emergency. Now, kinilach, in this story, it happened such an emergency time. The Yidden needed food in Eretz Yisrael, and they needed water, and they were poor, and they didn't have money. And they made a meeting. And in the shul, this is what happened at the meeting. They decided they're going to make a shliach, a messenger. A person will go, and he will go on a ship far away over the ocean to a different place. And that place had a big Jewish community. And in that Jewish community were Kenai Nahara, many wealthy people, and they would collect money. That person would collect money, bring the money back to Eretz Israel, and of course, the Yidden would still daven for rain and ask Hashem to help them, but at least they would have money, and the money would come back to Eretz Israel, to Yerushalayim, and they would be able to buy food and get water from far away. At least with that much money, they'll make sure that the kinilach have what to eat and drink, and also the mommies and tatties. Who is going to go on the ship over the ocean far away to collect money? Well, there was a very big tzaddik. His name was Reb Avraham Galanti. And Reb Avraham said, I will go far away in the ship, even though he was a very old man. He says, I will take the long trip and I will travel on the ship because I want to help the Yidden of Eretz Yisrael. And I will bring back, with Hashem's help, the money to Yerushalayim and will be able to get food and water. Rabbi Avraham Galanti went home and he packed up a few things to take on the trip. Of course, his talis and tefillin, some kosher food to be able to have on the ship, some sfarim and whatever else he needed. And now he goes to Yafoi, where the ships are. He gets a ticket for the ship and he goes now over the ocean to the big city called Constantinople. That was a city far away. I think it's in Turkey, is that correct? Is Constantinople in Turkey? Yes or no? I think so. Even today we're eating chicken, but this city was in Turkey. No, we're not having turkey today, we're having chicken. Constantinople was in Turkey. Okay. Now, the ship was almost there. They're getting close. They could see the land. Rabbi Avram is getting ready to go off. He will not waste 1 minute because Eretz Yisrael is in an emergency. If they don't get the money in time, they won't have food and water. The Kinelach will be thirsty and hungry, and their families. Rabbi Avram knows that every minute counts. Every minute has to be spent collecting money and getting back as soon as he can. No time to waste. All of a sudden, this is what happened. Rabbi Yisrael is getting ready to go with his bags, with his things that he packed. He's standing by the side of the ship. And as soon as the ship will get to the port, the dock, as soon as it stops, he wants to be the first one off. So he's standing outside. And all of a sudden, he sees a very strange thing. And the captain is also looking at it, because the captain is driving the boat, is driving the ship, and he's looking and he sees. From far away, they see people. People are standing on the roofs, on the top of the buildings, and they're waving their hands. What's going on? Why are people waving their hands? Now, one way to wave is like this. Hello, hello. Sometimes a ship comes and people are waving, hello, hello, like they're happy to see you. Maybe they have relatives that are coming on the ship. They're waiting to greet the ship and they're waving. But this was a different kind of waving, like this. Get away, like this. Don't come here, get away. And the captain sees it. Something must be wrong. Something must be wrong. They're waving to the ship in such a way that we should go away. And we should not come close. What's going on? Well, they got a little bit closer. And they see many people, especially officers, army men, police. And they are waving the ship, warning the ship not to come to Constantinople. The ship has to go somewhere else. This is what they were telling with their hands. They were too far away that you should be able to hear them. They didn't have microphones and loudspeakers and stuff like that. They could only see the sign that meant, get away from here. There is something going on that you have to not come here. And the captain made a meeting with his officers. And they decided they will not go to Constantinople. They will go somewhere else to the next place that they can put the ship. The Kinelach, the other people on the ship maybe didn't care so much, But Rabbi Avraham, he knew that he must go to Constantinople and not another place. Because in the other place they wanted to go, there were no Yidden. And he has to go where there's Yidden that he collect the money to help the Yidden of Eretz Yisrael. So he has to get off the ship. And he says to the captain, I must go off here. I cannot go anywhere else. I bought a ticket for here because I have to go here. I must go. The captain says, nope. The whole ship is going somewhere else. We will not stop here. Something is going on. Some kind of danger or emergency. But I have an emergency back in Eretz Yisrael I have to take care of. Sorry. We have to go somewhere else. And Rabbi Avraham says, I must get off here no matter what. And the captain said, okay, I see that you must get off, but the ship cannot come here. So this is what I'll do for you. I will let one of my officers take you in a little boat, because on the big ship are little boats that are on the big ship. In case somebody has to have an emergency, or chas v'shalom, it could be, of course, if the ship will sink, the big boat goes down. Well, they have little boats, hopefully, that can save the people. Well, one of these little boats will go in the water with one officer. They will take Reb Avram to the shore, to the city, and he will get off all by himself, and the little boat will go back to the big ship and will go away. And the captain says, this is at your own risk, because we don't know what's going on over there, and you might be putting yourself in big danger. So, if that's what you want to do, that's what you'll do, but you go all alone. Okay, Kenelach, tomorrow we will see what happened with Reb Avraham and what was going on in the city. Reb Avraham Galanti goes into the little boat. The big boat stays in one place because the captain is afraid. Something is going on in the city. We can't go there. We still do not know the danger that lurks in the city. But Reb Avraham is going by himself in the little boat because he must get money for the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael. He must get money for the Yidden. Every minute counts. There is no food. There is no corn. There is no pizza. And there is no bananas. There is no delicious milk and carrot sticks. The Kinelach and Yerushalayim are hungry and thirsty. Reb Avraham Galanti himself, by himself, is the one with Hashem's help who will help over here to get money in Constantinople. And he goes now in the little boat. And the soldier or the officer that took him in the little boat dropped him off by the beach and right away went in the little boat back to the big boat. And now Reb Avraham is standing by himself on the beach. As soon as he gets there, an officer from the city of Constantinople, one of the ones who was waving the ship to go away, he runs over to him and he says, why did you come here? Didn't you see we were showing you there is great danger? You should have not come here. Your life is in danger. And Reb Avraham says, what is the problem? And the soldier says, this morning, from the palace of the Sultan. Now the Sultan is the king. Over there they called the king the Sultan. They did not call him king. They called him the Sultan. This Sultan has in his beautiful big garden a zoo. And in the zoo are two gigantic lions. And this morning, right before feeding time, the lions escaped from the zoo. And they're running around wild, and they are hungry. Now, do you know what a hungry lion wants to do? Of course, he wants to eat. He does not eat pizza and corn and bananas. Maybe he eats that like a little tiny snack, but he wants to eat flesh. He wants to eat meat. Well, these lions, as we know, of course, because we've been to the zoo many times, lions do not eat every day. Lions sometimes go even a few days without eating. But when they're hungry, oh boy, are they going to eat a lot. These lions have escaped. And any person that is in the street, the lions are chasing them in order to eat. Now, can you figure out if the lions are in the street, what they are going to eat? And why the people are in danger? What might the lions eat if they're running around in the street?
The people.
The people. Oh, the people are afraid. And that's why the officer is telling Rabbi from Galanti, everyone is hiding in their houses. Nobody is on the streets. And I've just come to warn you, all of a sudden, as the officer is talking to Rabbi Avram, all of a sudden comes in the street one of the big gigantic lions, and the officer says, ha, 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 and he runs away. He's so afraid. And now Rabbi Avram is left right standing there by the beach, and the lion is running towards him. And the people on the roofs and the people that are hiding in their houses looking out the windows are screaming, get away from the lion! He'll eat you up! He'll eat you up! Get away from the lion! And Kinalach, as the people are watching, ready to see Reb Avram Galanti to be chas v'shalom eaten up by the lion, because the lion is running with his mouth open, with his big teeth showing, people notice that this Rabbi Avram is not running away. Now, what's wrong with that rabbi? He's not running away. He should run for his life. And somebody else said, wait a minute. He doesn't even look scared. He's not even crying. What's he just doing standing there? He's looking at the lion, and the lion is looking at him. What's going to happen? Oh, we better turn away. This is going to be yucky. All of a sudden, the lion comes right up to Rabbi Avram Galanti, closes his mouth, lays down, puts his big kepi, his big head, next to Rabbi Avram, and Rabbi Avram reaches down and pets the lion on the head. The lion is rolling around on his back, smiling like a little kitty cat. And now the lion stands up. Reb Avram puts his hand on his head. He holds on to his ear. He is not pulling his ear. He's just holding on to his ear. And he says to the lion, come with me. I better take you home to the Sultan's zoo. That's where you belong. After all, you're running around making everybody afraid. And I almost didn't come here to do what I had to do because you escaped from the Sultan's zoo. So I better take you back home so everybody will feel safe and I can get on with my job. And the people couldn't believe it. Look! Look! The lion is going with him. He must be a magician. He must have made magic. Or maybe he's some kind of a witch or something and he did some kind of witchcraft. Do you think this is true? Chas v'shalom. The people didn't know exactly what's going on. In fact, we don't even know what's exactly going on, probably. Why did the lion act like this? And then they said, but wait a minute. This is only one lion. Two lions escaped from the zoo, and this is one lion. How many lions are left?
Two.
How many lions are left running wild?
One.
One lion is left running wild. Oh, what happens if the other lion sees him? Oh, he's going to be finished. And now they're walking in the street, and the lion seems to know where to go back home. Animals recognize where they're supposed to go back home. So Rabbi Avraham is saying to the lion, let's go back home to the zoo. And people are looking out the windows. Their eyes are popping out of their heads. They can't believe what they're seeing. All of a sudden, the other lion is in the street, running with his mouth open, with his big teeth. Ha, ha, ha! Look, the other lion is coming! He's going to eat him up! Oh, boy! And then the other lion that's with him is probably also going to get wild. They're both going to eat him up. Oh, this is going to be yucky. We better not look. No, let's peek. Let's see what happens. I'm going to peek. Yeah, I'm going to look too. All of a sudden, the other lion comes up. And it comes right up to Reb Avraham, and it closes his mouth and smiles. And Reb Avraham pets it on the nosy like this. And he goes and rolls around like a little kitty cat, kicking his little feet, big feet actually. And Reb Avraham pets the lion. The lion stands up, and Reb Avraham puts his other hand on his ear. He doesn't pull his ear, just like this. You see what I'm doing? Just like that, holding on to his ear. Or like this. Here's an ear of corn. This is called an ear of corn. Here's an ear of a boy. Here's an ear of a corn. So today, boy, this story is perfect. It's even in the lunch. We're actually using the gashmius of the lunch to illustrate the story. The hands-on, interactive experience, visual effects with corn, with ears. And now we understand full well, in perfect illustration, exactly what's going on. And even we're going bananas, because this is a very interesting story, full of bananas. In Kinnelot, the people thought they were going bananas. They couldn't believe. Reb Avraham is leading both lions, holding nicely onto their ears, and they're going in the street with Reb Avraham. And now Rabbi Rappaport is looking at his watch, pulling his beard, and looking a little bit nervous. We shouldn't go too long with the story. It's going to mess up the whole lunchtime. So, Be'ezus Hashem, on Fun Day, we will finish the story, because the story is not over yet. But we will see what happens on Fun Day. Okay, let's continue and finish our story. Reb Avraham Galanty went off the little boat, and of course there was a big danger, but we know what was the danger. Two elephants were running in the streets. Two elephants, is that right? Two lions? Okay. Two lions. Wait, three lions. Two lions were running around the streets of Brooklyn. Was that right, Brooklyn? Were the two lions running in Crown Heights? Galanty? Where were the two lions running around wild? What was the name of that city? Constantinople, which I think is in Turkey. I think so. Anyway, turkeys were running around in lions. I'm sorry, lions were running around in Turkey. A lion with a turkey is Lishkin Shidduch. Okay, now, Reb Avraham Galanty, as we know, took the two lions gently by the ears, not Chas V'Shalom pulling them, only sort of like, you know, guiding them, holding on to them lightly. And the two lions are walking next to him, and everybody is looking out the windows. They cannot believe their eyes. Their eyes are popping out of their heads. They can't believe it. They should have made this rabbi their lunch. Instead, he's walking them like little kitty cats. How could it be? And Kinnelot, now they go to the Sultan's gardens, where the lions had escaped from that day. and the Sultan and his queen, and the princes and the princesses and the royal guards were on top of the palace. And of course the queen was crying, "Where's my lions? I want them back in my zoo. They're running around wild." Of course the people of the kingdom were afraid of the lions, and the lions would eat them up. But the queen is just worried, not about the people, about getting her pet lions back into the cages in the zoo. And all of a sudden, one of the guards says, "There's the lions!" And they see Reb Avram Galanti leading the lions back to the royal gardens, to the royal zoo. "Look! That man with that beard, he's going along with the lions. Actually, the lions are going along with him. How could it be? The hungry lions. Shh. Oh, maybe they ate a whole bunch of people up already, and they're not hungry anymore. And that's why he could do that." Well, Kinalach, when he took them to their cages, and they put them back into their cages, and it was feeding time, oh boy, those lions ate a lot of lion food. They were still hungry. So how could it be that man with a beard was leading hungry lions and they didn't eat him up? How could it be? Kinalach, the sultan, the king, and the queen. Now how many people did I just say? The sultan, the king, and the queen. The sultan is the king. I'm only reminding you that the sultan means the king. And the queen are sitting on their thrones, and they want Reb Avram Galanti. They want this man who brought the lions back. They asked him, "What's your name?" "My name is Reb Avram Galanti." "Well, how could you do such a thing?" "Shh." And he explained to them the following. "Shh. Kinalach, who is learning Chumash over here? Who is learning Chumash Bereishis?" In the Chumash it says, when Hashem made the animals, Hashem made the animals in such a way that they will be afraid of people. Not that people will be afraid of animals. Animals will be afraid of people. When an animal sees a person, he will be afraid. Now, is a lion an animal? Yes. Even a lion, when he sees a person, he will be afraid of the person. Not that the person will be afraid of the lion. Hashem made it in such a way that the lion will be afraid of the person. And Rabbi Avram explained that a person has two ways to behave. Hopefully he will behave like Hashem wants, like a person. If he behaves like a person, and the lion looks at him, the lion sees a person. How does a lion feel when he sees a person? Afraid. But, Chas v'Shalom, as we know, it is possible for a person to listen to his Yetzirah. If a person listens to his Yetzirah, does he behave like a person or an animal?
Animal.
He behaves like an animal. What happens when a person behaves like an animal and an animal looks at a person? Does he see a person or he sees an animal? What does he see?
An animal.
He sees an animal. Will an animal be afraid of an animal? No. An animal will not be afraid of an animal. So that is why the animal might attack a person, because it might look to the animal like another animal. But if he's acting according to the way Hashem wants, what does a person do to behave in the way that Hashem wants? What does he do? He learns what and does what? Does anybody know?
He learns Torah.
And what does he do? He learns Torah and he does what?
I don't know.
Can anybody guess?
Mitzvahs.
Mitzvahs. Very good. That's the way the lion will see a person. Then the lion will be afraid. Shh, Kenelach. The Sultan says, Rabbi Avram Galanti, where do you come from? He says, I come from Eretz Israel, from Yerushalayim. What are you doing here? Why did you come to Constantinople? Especially, I heard that the ship you came on was supposed to come, and the ship did not come, but you came on a little boat,